Book of Revelation tonight. If you have your Bibles, chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2. Hallelujah. Starting at verse number 12, 2 and 12. Amen. Hallelujah. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr. Hallelujah. Who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Amen. Notice here, he says, when I come again, if you don't repent, I'm going to fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Against who? Amen. Against these that are acting like Balaam and those that are acting like the Nicolaitans, not the church. Hallelujah.
Right.
Amen. Repent or else I will come unto you quickly. He that hath an ear, verse 17, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcome will I give to eat of the hidden manna. I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Hallelujah. If the Lord would help us here for just a few moments, I'd like to preach to us. Amen. Out of this second verse that I read, verse 13, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Hallelujah.
Bless him, Lord.
And I've dealt with two of the churches in this book of Revelation over the past several services, you know, over the last couple months, amen, if you will, not consecutively. But if the Lord would help us, amen, I'd like to preach here tonight on the church that was next to Satan's seat. Hallelujah.
Bless
him, Lord,
God.
Amen. Hallelujah. We dealt with the church of Ephesus. The Bible said it was the church that left its first love. Amen. Then we looked at Smyrna, which was the church that was both rich and poor. Amen. Now we come to the church of Pergamos. Amen. Jesus said himself, amen, I know thy works. Amen. And where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Hallelujah. They was right in the midst of the fiery furnace of hell. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said, but I know thy works. You stood, amen, right in the midst where there's sin all around. Hallelujah. He says that he is the one, amen. Jesus reveals himself to these people, and he says, I'm the one who has the sharp sword with two edges. Amen.
Yeah.
And here is a church with sin. Amen. Not only in it, but sin was all around. Praise God. He said, I got someone against you, because inside of the church, some are holding to the doctrine of Balaam.
Right.
Some are holding to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. We're going to get into that eventually here. Amen. But he said, I'm going to come with a two-edged sword. Hallelujah. And I'm going to fight against them. Amen. Hey, God. But Jesus says, get it out. Amen. Get the sin out, or I'm going to come, great God, with the sword of chastisement and judgment. Hallelujah. Amen. Here this church was right next door, amen, to the seat of Satan. Amen. Right next to his throne, if you will. Hallelujah. But Jesus says, I know what you're suffering, but look, amen, I bear in my hand a sword. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Not only will the sword fight those that are, amen, holding up and believing wrong doctrine, I come to tell you the sword will also fend off the enemy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. He told us that the one who is on our side, amen, is greater and more powerful than the forces, great God, that be against us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Little boy one day saw his father up on the top of the house. Amen. And he hollered for his dad. He said, Dad, Let me come up there with you. Amen. And the dad knew that the son would get up the ladder and get fearful about halfway up and look down and be fearful. He said, son, whatever you do, keep your eyes up on me. Amen. Hallelujah. And sure enough, that old boy got to climbing that ladder, and he got way up there, probably midways or a little over, and he got to looking down, and he froze, and he cried. Amen. And the dad said, son, you got to look up to me. Hallelujah. Amen. And when that little boy got his eyes back on his dad, he was able to climb back up that ladder. Hallelujah. Hey, I come to tell you, when difficult times around us come upon us, we must look unto him who is able to deliver us. Praise God. He's bigger than you and I, isn't he? Hallelujah. Amen. We can keep climbing, praise God, if we'll get our eyes up on him. Amen. Praise God. Well, my first point I'd like to get into here tonight, if the Lord would help us, amen, is the great God, the faith. Amen. We got to look here at the faith of this church. Praise God.
Bless you,
amen.
Lord.
It had a lot of faith. Amen. We can appreciate this church more when we see where it was located. Hallelujah. Amen. The city contained, amen, heathen temples. It contained much libraries and much sinful books all the way around. Hallelujah.
Bless
amen. Right there, this church of Pergamos, it was right there in downtown Sin City. Amen. Great God. That's exactly where the church was located. It was the headquarters for the Roman, proconsul. Listen, it was a special center of heathen worship. Historians tell us that when a certain evil cult was driven out of Babylon, listen to this, its leader settled right in Pergamos. Amen. A cult that was too wicked for Babylon. That's pretty wicked, ain't it? Thank God it was driven out. Historians believe, amen, and this wicked cult set up its headquarters right in downtown Pergamos. Amen. Hey, God, right there where the Roman and the Greek mythology all had its beautiful temples, right there in Pergamos. Amen. No wonder Christ said that it was right where the seed of Satan was. Amen. That poor little church was next door to the office of Satan. Amen. Hey, God. Amen. Here were the palaces of sin, where everything was popular and grand and pleasant. On the other hand, here was a little church trying to hold, amen, on to the faith that when converts in a city right beside of Satan's seat. Amen. Hey, God. Isn't that a picture of the 21st Christians today in 2021? That's where we are, Brother Daniel. We're trying to hold on right in the midst of Satan's seat. Amen. Hey, God, I look all around. Amen. I got Brother George turned on the Don Rich, and he come in the door the other night, and he said, "Woo, what did the little chicken see?" Amen. If you ain't heard that one, hey, God, you need to hear it. Amen. I feel like that's where we are today. That old chicken in that cartoon. Amen. It showed an egg, and it showed an egg cracking, and then it showed the egg busted through, and the chicken looked out, and it got a telescope, and he began looking around, and then in the next stanza, that old chicken said, "Give me back my shell," and he was trying to get himself back in the shell of that egg. Amen. And Don Rich, I don't have time to preach his message tonight, but Don Rich said, "I come to preach, what did the little chicken see?" Amen. Hey, God, we can take a little further. That's probably been 20, 30 years ago. Now I wonder what that chicken would see. Amen. Hey, God, he pulled out his telescope. Amen. He was right there in Pergamos, that church that was right downtown next to the, amen, seat of Satan. And he looked out and he seen homosexuality upon every hand. Hey, God, sin abound everywhere. Amen. That old chicken said, "Give me back my shell. Give me back my shell." Amen. I just wonder what that chicken would see today. Amen. Hey, God in heaven. Amen. Oh, he's going to see a devil
devil. He's going to see a Satan, amen, who's around everywhere as a roaring lion seeking to devour whom he may. Amen. He's always seeking to drag men down away from Christ. Hallelujah. And where is Satan's work centered? It is centered in the heart of our great cities. Oh, yes. You go down in these cities, and we want to know why it prospers so much. Hey, God, I tell you why sin prospers. How does the casinos build bigger and greater? I tell you how they prosper. They don't have Satan fighting and pulling against them because they're working for him. Amen. Man, what, Brother Jason, why is the church struggling and fighting so hard in 2021? Why is it getting so dark and so hard? Why is it so getting hard for me to pray? Anybody ever feeling here lately about the weight? Amen. You get down to pray and the phone rings. You get down to pray. Amen. You get sleepy. You get tired. You get the mind of the devil. Hey, I come to tell you, we're living right beside of Satan's seat. Amen. We're living in the last day, church. It's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to open our eyes and see if there's ever a time. We better grab hold of the horns of the altar. It's today. Hey, he's trying to drag men into hell. Yeah, that's why they're prospering down at the casinos. Hey, God, you look at the ball stadiums. Hey, man, up there at Ohio University, it's only a couple hours of Columbus from here. Brother Daniel, they tell me they hold 110, amen, 100,000 plus, 110 somewhere around there, and they pack that place out on Saturdays, on day day. Amen. Well, how they growing? How they prospering? I tell you how they are, because they're part of Satan's seat. Amen. And the devil's not fighting that crowd. They get out there, commit fornication and ungodliness, tailgating, drinking beer. Hey, commit adultery right in parking lot. Come on, I come to tell you, amen, if the church is going to stand, we got to be like Pergamos and be able to make it right next to Satan's seat. Amen. You might as well hear me. I'm going to preach to you just a little while tonight. Hey, God. Hey, and where is Satan's work? It's right in our downtown cities. Our cities are not characterized by great crowds. Amen. And roaring business enterprise. Oh, yeah, but usually, amen, they are moral sinkholes of our nation. Satan's appeal is always to the flesh. So where you find more people chasing that almighty dollar, where you find more people seeking pleasure, that's where you're going to find the seed of Satan. Amen. Hey, God, but we must not give up. Oh, no, on this generation, if Satan is busy, we must get busier. Oh, yes, if this world makes its wares appealing, the church must make the gospel much more appealing. Oh, yes. And this was what the Pergamos church was doing in a city black with sin. It was holding up high the light of Jesus Christ. Hey, I come to tell you, hey, I come to tell us, Brother Dan, if there's ever a day that we can shine a light, it's in this black, dark hour that we're living in. Yes, I get, amen, aggravated sometimes when I hear ladies say in the holiness ranks, hey, God, amen, oh, they make fun of me for this long stringy hair that I have. I come to tell you today, that's a lie straight out of the pits of hell. Come on, let me tell you something, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a holiness man. Oh no, hey man, you know what men really like? Men like long hair. Hey God, oh yes, I couldn't tell you, hey man, 100 out of 100 times, Brother Tommy, if I really wanted to look, we walked into a place, a restaurant today, hey man, and everybody was walking ahead of me. Hey God, and there are my daughters, and hey man, and some of the ladies here was walking ahead of me, and I looked at this table. They always do this. They gals there, whoever they're with, look at that. Amen. Look at that. We're not doing it all the time. Amen. We got mom. mall and Raylan and Reese and Michelle and them, they can walk down the mall. And I see it all the time. Their gals and their wives gals and her husband gals and wife. Look at that. They stop us all the time and say, oh, that's beautiful. And look how beautiful that is. I come to shout it in the mouth of hell tonight. Devil, you're a liar and the father of lies.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
If there was a female angel in heaven, I don't believe there is. And this is another message for another night. I believe angels were all male. Everyone you could find in the Word of God, every one of them was a male. Amen. But I believe if there was a female angel in heaven, I may be wrong. Amen. But if there is a female angel in heaven, Brother Daniel, I can bet you can bet your bottom dollar that she's got long hair. Hey, it might even touch the ground or lay down on the ground. Somebody said, how long should I let it go and grow? I tell you, how long you let it grow? The Bible said, amen, that it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Hey, God. Oh, yes. Amen. And somebody said, well, I see pictures of Jesus, and he had long hair. That's straight out of the pits of hell. Jesus had long hair. And I'll bet you everything I've got for that. Amen. He never had long hair. Come on. Amen. How would Paul say that it's a shame for a man to have long hair? Amen. When Peter, James, and John all walked by his side, and Peter worked in the work of the Lord, Paul did rather ride with Peter. And he said it's a shame for a man to have long hair.
Amen.
Well,
good preacher.
Pray for me. I got a lot rolling through my
head.
Hey, that's point number one. Point number two, not only did Jesus not have long hair because they walked amongst him, but the Bible said, amen, to not to have an effeminate spirit.
Right.
Hey, God. Brother George, I'm not going to grow long hair. First off, I'm doing my best to get it to grow. Amen. Hey, but if I could grow it, Brother Tommy, I'm not going to grow long hair down my back because it's effeminate. Right. Amen. And the Bible said, amen, for a man not to be effeminate. Hey,
right.
Hey, God, this new style, we're getting back in the 70s days. Look at all these young boys. They got their man buns. They grow their hair up. Hey, God, you got boys. They white boys trying to grow afros. Come on now. You got black boys that can grow an afro trying to straighten their hair out. Come on. Hear me. I'm going to preach a while tonight. You got white girls laying in denim beds trying to get dark. And you got dark people trying to buy stuff to bleach their skin out. We're living in a mixed up generation. We're living right in downtown Pergamus, right in the seat of Satan. I come to tell you, church, how long is long hair? I'll tell you how long it is. As long as it'll grow. Let it grow just as long as it will.
That's right, bro. Bless
you, for a man to have long hair. But Jesus said, Paul said, rather, amen.
Glory to God.
That woman's long hair.
Glory.
Glory.
Right.
I can read it to you. Go over it. Corinthians.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
I got it. I ain't going to. Chapter number 11. You go home and read it. Start off verse number 1. Read the whole 11th chapter of the book of Corinthians. If you got any problems with this, you debate me after a while. Hey, God. Amen.
Come on, bro.
Old Brother Rich was telling about his sister. Said she has grown up in the same church he is raised up in. Amen. Same family he is raised up. And she lived a good holiness life. And she climbed the corporate ladder. And she got to managing a very popular hotel chain out in the West Coast, amen. State of California, best I know. Amen. She got to making all kinds of money. He said she got to snipping and clipping. Hey, God. And her hair went from long to short. Hallelujah. And she began to cut it off. Hey, God, I'll get back to point number one way back yonder. Hey, long hair's way more prettier than butchy, blocky cut off hair. I'll challenge everybody out there in the world like that too, baby. It's way more. Why is it more beautiful? Because it's way God. back up west and all by myself. She is a little bit nervous. She is inside Dylan Hudson. He's in a bad mood crying after he got a haircut, put him in a bad mood. I thought I did pretty good. Weston went in there, I guess, and looked at him. He said, "Boy, I got a good haircut." I said, "Oh, yeah, you got a good haircut." I didn't know it. That's the way he is. But he come to church this morning, the girl said, and he got to asking everybody, "Do I got a good haircut? Do I got a good haircut?" Come on. Hey, I want these boys to know that's what a boy does. If hair gets down on your collar, it gets down on your ears, it's time to get a haircut anyway. Come on now, that's just good old-fashioned preaching. Come on. But Brother Rich said his sister got to sniffing and clipping and got her hair, amen, getting short. Hey, since he moved to television in her house, come on, and began to take on the world in her home. When she was raised up against all that.
Yes, come on, brother.
Come on.
I got to move on here.
All right, come on.
But he said, "See, but I didn't even know this. There's fads out there. People try to keep up with the fads. Did you know that?"
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
But to be in style, she got some kind of book for the color of the day. Whew. It says like something the clothing stores and the merchant people's behind. But you had to wear a certain color on a certain day of the week.
Yeah.
And she went out and filled her closet up this year because this color had to be worn on that day. And next year another color had. But she kept up with all that. What color she had to wear for what day of the week. Because she was climbing that corporate ladder, making big bucks, managing that hotel chain. Hey, God. But he said he got a call one night. He was off preaching revival. And his brother Bill Rich called him and said, "Don, you better come home quick." He called her name. I forgot her. It's his sister's name. But said she's dying. The doctors don't give her but just a couple of days to live. Don Rich said he closed his revival out and he flew to San Francisco, California, where they had his sister in a hospital. And there she was laying. Good God. And she had some kind of rare infection. Her temperature was high. It was wearing her out. It was taking her life. I don't know if they ever really figured out what was wrong there. Doctors were puzzled. One doctor said, "Operate." Another doctor said, "I wouldn't touch her." He said, all he knew was she was dying. And one doctor came in and said, "Does this woman have any parents?" Amen. And Brother Don Ritz said, "It said, hey, she still got parents, but they're old and they're on walkers. They can hardly even get around." And they said, "You better call them and tell them if they want to see their daughter one last time, they better get in here." Amen. In the next hour or two, she has a matter of hours to live. She's dying and there's nothing we can do about it. Brother Rich said, him and his brother got in there and got to praying for his sister that was dying and lost without God and backslid upon the Lord, and said, there she lay, tears running down her face. And she said, "Here I lay, my vain self, and it don't even matter what the color today even is." Oh, she said, "It don't even matter how much fashion clothes I have hanging in my closet." Oh, she was so vain. She said, "Don, you and Bill get out of the room. Don't watch me die. Don't watch me die." Oh, amen. Don said, him and Bill got out of the room, but they just stood there by the door. Amen. A matter of minutes went by. They said they could hear her crying in there. And she said, "Oh God, if you can hear me, I'm sorry for all that I've done. I'm sorry for backsliding on the principles that I know were right, on the doctrine of holiness that I knew was right. I'm sorry, Lord, if you can hear me."
Don's Rich said about that time his mom and dad made it down. Bill,
his brother went and got him.
Jeez.
Brought his mom and dad and they hobbled in there. Barely could walk herself way up in their 80s, pushing 90. Going there to say goodbye to their daughter.
Okay.
Amen.
Your way.
I come to tell you, not only does God hear us, amen, a call of repentance, but he also has power to raise up.
Amen.
Woo! Brother Don Rich said,
amen, that his sister repented in there on that deathbed, and the doctor said she'll not live to see daylight, amen. But she prayed and she asked the Lord to forgive her, and not only did he forgive her, but he stopped that fever and he stopped that sickness, and the doctors could do nothing about. And by morning time, she got better. Woo! And she got better. And she got better. And she got better. And finally, she made it home. Hey, God. And Brother Don said, when she got home, she got to cleaning house. Hey! She kicked that one-eyed bandit out the door. Come on! She let her hair grow long. And she called old Don this. And she called old Don Rich up one day. And she said, Don, you was right. He said, what are you talking about, sister? He said, she said, you always told me my hair would grow if I keep the scissors out. Hey, God, I've heard woman after woman say my hair won't grow, but they go to the beauty parlor every month. You don't know how long it might grow if you let her grow. Let her grow. Hey, come on. Hey, God, I'm about to feel the Holy Ghost in this house. You live for God right at the scene of Satan.
Amen.
This is more than you bargained for, I know.
Bless it, Lord. Come on, brother.
Glory. Yes.
I got to move on here.
Jesus.
In this day of conformity, when the world calls upon us to live and act like everyone else, the Christian must know he's different. You're different. They mock and make fun of you. The girl said, Dad, some of the people ran by and were pretty sure they was cussing at us. I said, girls, that's all right. Let them cuss. It ain't going to be the last time you ever made fun of.
Woo! Hey! Hey, man, they've made fun of me, Brother Tommy, for years. Yeah. Great God, I was different on the job. Yeah. Once again, I don't tell you to do what I do. I don't see a thing in the world if you wear a decent short sleeve shirt. That's up to you. But I do believe a preacher's held to a higher calling. Hey, amen. I don't know why, but at the age of 14 or so, I was convicted. I was riding a four-wheeler one day. Yeah. Them old big long arms, skinny arms of mine, I was riding. I looked down there. I thought, man, I'm naked. Thank God. I'm trying to hide my arms. I'm trying to hide my arms. Brother, hey, I used to wear them long sleeves. In the summertime when it was hot, I don't know really what it mattered. This same temperature in the hospital all year long. But then the female nurses used to make fun of me. Do you wear long sleeves all the time? I said, yes, ma'am, I do. Woo! Come on now. Great God in heaven. They'd see my family. Great God, you make them wear dresses? Oh no, I don't make them wear dresses. Great God, if you live like you live because somebody makes you, when you get out from under the thumb, you're going to turn hog wild, baby. You got to learn to love God for yourself. Not because daddy makes you, not because mommy makes you, not because the preacher's going to preach on you. You got to learn to love God when nobody's around.
When Joseph got down in Egypt, he could have turned hog wild.
Right. Right.
He had all right to. His brother sold him out. He ended up a slave. Foreign land, here he was, a bright shining light in Egypt. He could have done what he wanted. Right. He could have had his way in there when Potiphar's wife gave him the opportunity. But he said, I don't care if nobody in Egypt knows my name. God in heaven knows who I am.
Yes.
Woo! And I'm not going to stand in a dark corner when nobody knows where I'm at. Nobody knows what I'm doing. I'm still going to live for God.
Listen to me, I'm preaching to you. Hey, I'm going to live for God no matter what. Come on, you young people, you need to get in your heart. Are you really living it because somebody makes you, or because it's really what you believe?
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yes.
Hold on, I'm going to still got more to take
come on,
here.
Come on. Glory.
Great God.
Have your way, Lord.